In the gospel lesson, we find the crowds, perhaps even Jesus's own family, accusing and worrying that Jesus is out of his mind. Things have gotten out of control, and Jesus might be more than they've expected. What should they do? We worry. They find themselves wondering, what is Jesus doing? The complexities of family are not glossed over at all in the Gospel of Mark. In fact, there are times that they worry that Jesus' family might have gotten in the way of his ministry instead of supporting it. We want to imagine that our families are always the most supportive places. And sometimes the reality is that our places of origin sometimes have deep complexities. I'm being gentle here. And this was a truth for Jesus. Family dynamics can be some of our own deepest challenges. Mental health dynamics find their crucible in the family of origin. Jesus is no exception. His return home made everyone nervous. We heard that in the gospel. It raised the question, who is family? Who's my brother? Who's my sister? Who's my mother? Even on the last day of his life, as he hung on the cross, we heard, who is going to care for his mother? A household can be full of division, even the kind you'd rather not be made public, and you'd rather have resolved. Does this sound familiar? Don't worry, I'm not making you raise your hand. Today, I'm not even going to look for a nod, I promise. In this season after Easter, we've had a series of sermons on the strength of Karl Barth, the German theologian. We're taking the proverbial newspaper in one hand and Bible in the other, looking at some of the most important issues of our times, asking ourselves, what does the Bible say about the issues, the kind we know so well, and that we find in our news media? How does our faith inform how we want to think about these understandings? Our newspaper story for this week comes as a sister reflects on the life of her brother after addiction and mental health crisis. After receiving a high-energy phone calls a few years back from her co-executive producer brother a few days before her wedding. Let that sink in a minute to imagine how that might have been received. She received a phone call from her brother a few days before her wedding. I'm imagining her mind here a minute. That he was a drug addict and entering rehab. In this interview, she shares the title of her book, Everything is Horrible and Wonderful. Ugh. The family supports the brother, Harris Weisel, for the next 2 years as he cycles through rehab. And then, as a story some of us know, the disease overcame. He died by overdose. The sister who tells the story, Stephanie Weidel's walks, and her parents each handle this impact differently. This story is not uncommon. The mother speaks in schools about grief and develops groups for support. Stephanie writes this book here, and the Father looks for places for solidarity and silence to be by himself and process where nobody else is looking. Mental health for each one of us impacts widely in ripples. The implicit question that she struggles with throughout the interview is inclusion. Is it gentler when her brother struggles with the addictive behaviors out of her sight? Good question. Or when he's part of community, part of her life? That's a difficult question, but it's a familiar struggle for every family member who's ever walked this path, and it's the question of the church, too. To include, by definition, is to comprise as part of the whole. We are not fully the body of Christ, friends, unless each and every one of us is part of the body of Christ. That hurts a little bit, including those of us who know depression, and those of us who know schizophrenia and bipolar, those of us who know PTSD and addiction, those of us who would rather our brothers and sisters who have uncomfortable behaviors be somewhere else rather than part of our communities. As a Christian community, we believe deeply in the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. The author C.S. Lewis, more widely known for his books on Narnia, has written compellingly on suffering. A short reflection entitled The Problem of Pain, he articulates that suffering is specifically challenging for those of us who've understood that God is good, like Aslan. This necessarily begins to mean that suffering in the shadow of the one on the cross points us towards resurrection. And resurrection is more deeply meaningful even when the event of suffering itself feels meaningless to us. Addiction and darkness, depression and mental illness are difficult times. Don't hear me to say anything else. And those are times in deep need of God's presence, in deep need of inclusion and the power of the community. There is God's presence in the community. So what should we do, friends? The Epistle of Philippians is not an offhanded or a short-sighted response to be happy. This is not the don't worry, be happy book of the Bible. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, encouraging them with a sense of joy. Different than happiness. Happiness is based on circumstance. Joy depends on God. Joy is that thing that sits deep in our soul and waits out those quick changes. Joy doesn't change from day to day. Joy lets the moments go by like the ocean waves. And joy knows that in the end, God's got this. Did you hear the verse from Philippians? Rejoice. That means joy again. Rejoice always. So the question comes, are Christians crazy, believing in a God of love and grace? Sometimes raises that question. It's no wonder that one of the first recorded responses to Jesus as he came back home is he out of his mind? Thinking he might need some additional mental health training. Is he crazy? Did he lose his mind? How quickly you and I find ourselves judging, like we're all armchair psychologists, each of us who so quickly diagnosing and recommending from across the street and over a cup of coffee. But even in the days of Jesus, we know that the judgment and the stigma that can hurt, you and I know that the stigma cripples our brothers and sisters often as dramatically as the symptoms of any specific illness. On this, Jesus led the way boldly. There was no one above the touch and the attention of Jesus. You and I, our brothers and sisters, have become easy excluders. What would it look like for us to become more easy includers than excluders, I wonder? For seasons in our country, we've imagined that removal was a healthier model for communities. And there are times and seasons in which that's indeed the case. Don't hear me elsewise. But often, disconnection can do harm to a psyche. In multiple communities I've served, this one included, having our friends as a part of worship has brought light and hope, not only to those with developmental disabilities, but to all those who are present. I celebrate those from Devereux who have been a part of particularly the 11 o'clock service here in worship. What a gift they've been. I think of the smiles that have lingered, the extra handshakes that have pumped a few extra time, and the joy that has come out of that love extended. There are ways in which, friends, we extend pragmatic and appropriate inclusion. Those ways of inclusion are first in worship, but we can't imagine where it will end. In the United Methodist Church, we hold to our beliefs by articulating them in multiple ways. Every 4 years, our general conference articulates our beliefs in a book of worship and resolutions. In 2016, we articulated the following. We oppose the use of jails and prisons for incarceration of those with serious and persistent mental illness for whom treatment, hear this, in a secure hospital setting is more appropriate. Darkness is a frightening experience and has many manifestations. We pray for each of us who know darkness, our family members and our larger communities who know this story intimately. The National Mental Health Advisory Council estimates right now that 22.9% of adults in any particular year suffer from a diagnosable psychiatric disease. 22.9% of us. I had to sit with that for a little bit. that hit me in a particular way. Y'all know that I pray through our directory regularly, and I regularly send you all notes that I'm praying for you because I mean it. 22.9% of us is an awful lot of us who know darkness in a particular way. This is why we need to be praying for and caring for each other and including one another in community. We need one another. These aren't just words. We need the transformational power of Jesus' presence. They estimate it's set between 7 and 9 million children who have diagnosable diseases related to mental illness as well. We need one another, friends, and we need the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. The three largest categories for adults are depression, bipolar, and schizophrenia. We need to be loving and including one another in these relationships. All of these require the diagnosis and care of medical professionals. I don't need to tell you that. Last summer, when our family visited Williamsburg, we spent some time at the public hospital. Maybe some of you have been there. Called the public hospital, I didn't name it, the public hospital for persons of insane and disordered minds. Ugh. Forgive me. The first patient was admitted in 1773. It's actually the first of its kind in North America. And it held 24 persons, both men and women, as early as 1773, and prior to that, it was the responsibility of the church. Isn't that interesting? To be the place that would care well, if they could, for those who needed that care. What was most striking to me was the struggle to provide spaces for families who wanted to visit their loved ones while they were in the hospitals. The docents spoke of the care some families provided of meals and blankets. And when they visited, it made a difference. They had the letters all around the walls and such. When the families provided meals and blankets, it made a difference in their lives. Our community has the desire, has the goal, has indeed the mandate, the gospel mandate, to encircle and include one another. Not because we have a leg up on others, but because we know that we are created and loved by God. Jesus did not come to remove suffering or to explain it again, but to fill that suffering with his presence. The presence of Jesus is known through the body of Christ. Jesus calls you, and Jesus calls me, to include and encircle those who have been otherwise excluded from the body, to draw them in, and to know that you are loved and you are beloved. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.